League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rocksure on Off the Ball.
Well, if Daniel Kelly won that header, you clip that and you save that in the Shelbourne folklore.
League of Ireland Late Night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
He's back with me in studio. And Mick, we've been following this week, the fact that Munster hurling final tickets are being ratcheted up to €50 for a stand ticket this year. So terrace tickets are going to be priced at €40. Under-16s are going to be €10. OAPs and students are going to have a concession of €5. So as far as I understand, this is back-to-back years of €5 increase on a stand ticket. So 2 years ago, for example, it would have just been €40 for a stand ticket, €30 for a terrace ticket for that Munster final. So a bit of a jump over the course of those 2 years, to say the least.
Yeah, it's good that there still is that like very, very decent concession price. For a start, you know what I mean? That it is a genuine concession. You would argue there's probably too much of a gap there. But the Munster Council have come out and given reasons as to why they've done a pricey increase, and it's basically like increased costs of stadiums and, you know, stewards and the running of a ground for a game, plus they're building centres of excellence everywhere and so on. And that's all fine. Everybody understands this. But you can't get away from the fact that they had a price increase last year and Bonanza, Limerick versus Cork, tickets don't even need to go on general sale. This will be a sellout. People will pay. If you want to look at things as supply and demand and the, you know, dynamic pricing, as Ticketmaster likes to talk about, right? Fine, that's no problem. I don't think the vast majority of GAA members would think that that's what their organisation should be doing for fans who want to go to these games, you know? So I don't think supply and demand would have worked as an excuse, but it's hard to think that isn't ultimately what it was.
Cork being involved as well, they will claim that they're being taxed extra because they bring a huge amount of support. It's their first Munster final since 2018, and maybe it's no coincidence that this is the case. Should say, by the way, that in the under-20 All-Ireland final, it's Tyrone 4-12, Louth 16 points, so an 8-point cushion for Tyrone 21 minutes into the second half there. So, yeah.
So, you know, as a Kerry fan, and there's an awful lot of conversation sometimes about Kerry being maybe not the greatest travelling supporters of all, and Kilkenny have obviously had that in the past as well, or currently even still do. But if you're constantly in All-Ireland finals, and you mentioned the tax of Cork making it because they're there, Limerick are in their seventh Munster final in a row, going for seven in a row in six of those years, I believe, in five of those years they've played in All-Ireland finals. Do you know, it's like, at some point there has to be how much is too much? Does costing Limerick cost me £500 plus a year? You know what I mean? And that's just for me, never mind my two kids and everybody else that goes to the games with me. You know, so successful teams, you can understand why eventually at some point you pick and choose what games you go to, that the attendances would go down. It's this awful paradox of what will be the best time in your life and what has been the best time in your life to support your team is the time when you probably go the least.
And I think Limerick fans this year, if they knew then what they know now, they would have hammered Cork the first day out. Maybe that first match wouldn't have been a sellout and they would have saved their pennies for this weekend. But obviously at that point, John Kiely was giving it, you know, the big sell to the fans. They need to come out and be vocal and sell this place out.
Yeah, and I suppose you would argue that the prices for the round robin are reasonable, but they're also four games in very, very quick succession in 6 weeks, and that's a lot followed by a Munster final where these prices are huge. It's £50, if you want. The vast majority of tickets are, you know, adult stand tickets, so it's €50 to go to the game. 40 for the terrace is amazing. 40 for a terrace ticket feels like All-Ireland final level tickets, you know. So I don't know, I can understand people being pissed off. There's an awful lot of conversation in football with, you know, obviously there's the same excuses. There is rising costs, there is PSR, there is the absolute need for the bigger football clubs to raise revenue, not just from selling players or whatever, but to raise their general intake so that they're not as reliant on qualifying for Europe and everything like that. But that comes at the cost of fans, and it's the people who are always there keeping the club alive that are the ones that are now paying more to go and see them while they bring in revenues from elsewhere. So, it, you know, penalising loyalty is probably, I suppose, the way they're looking at it in English football. But it's hard not to look at it the same way when you see prices like that in GAA.
Yeah. Munster GAA released a statement to the 42 and they said the increasing cost of hosting the games with field rent, stewarding, team participation grants and match day costs amounted to 47% of all income from our games in 2024. And then they list the numerous projects in the six Munster counties. So they list the Kerry Centre of Excellence, the Limerick Centre of Excellence, the Clare Centre of Excellence. These are all various degrees of work that needs to be done, from newsstands to floodlights. The Tipperary Centre of Excellence, I mentioned their work, new seating and works of stands and terraces at Semple Stadium. Welsh Park, the redevelopment of the ground, including new spectator accommodation and changing rooms, and the development of a Cork Centre of Excellence. So the total spend by Munster GAA on county board facilities since 2015 is €11.9 million, and €9.245 million of Munster GAA's income in 2024 was reinvested into its activities and development initiatives. So that's what they're saying.
No, and you know what? I wouldn't argue with that. But what I'm saying is they saw an opportunity here with this Munster
final. Back-to-back years.
To go and say, right, actually, we'll get some of that money by this. So I'm not I'm not saying that their reasons aren't sound. But at the same time, like, there must be other ways to raise money, and there must be other ways that are... Look, it's like the taxation system, Owen. It's, you know, progressive tax is great, but the ones that aren't progressive are the ones that get the most, you know, to get the most in, because they're the ones that everybody has to pay. And unfortunately, that's the way I think things are being looked at. It does feel like supporters, genuine supporters who want to go to these games, are being taxed to pay for all of these things. And that's fine, but all of these things are to build, like, you know, the best intercounty hurlers and footballers in the province, in the country, and that's fine. But what good is it if nobody's going to be going to see the games because everybody's priced out of it?
I suspect that a lot of people will be voting with their feet here if the competition wasn't so good. And I think what we're seeing on the football side of things is that because of the condensed nature of the championship, people are voting with their feet. And not because they're being overcharged on an individual basis. It's just the accumulation of it, allied with the fact that you do know that your team has another fixture in a couple of weeks' time, and maybe there isn't the same level of jeopardy as we've got in Munster hurling, and the football attendances. Like, cost-related, I think, is a part to do with this, because of the accumulation of games, I think is definitely a bit of a red flag at the moment.
Yeah, sure. You were at the Kerry Roscommon game, and we were talking about it on the Monday. It was an astonishing
6,800.
But again, how many more Kerry games are there going to be? For Roscommon, is that the one you go down to? Maybe, but you've probably a chance of winning your other two games. You know, so it's like 6,000 is an incredible number for that fixture.
It's insane. I love the justification for it as well. Like, I'm not saying that
it was sunny.
I was listening to James Donohue on the football pod, and he was saying, you know, it was a lovely day, so people would have gone to the beach.
Yeah.
So if it was raining, would more people have gone? I don't know. I think that there's just a big part of that where a team of Kerry's standard, and people would have looked at that group. There's a day out in Croke Park guaranteed from that group, and more so even after getting the win. So still, you'd expect at home a nice day out, people to show up and have the day out and just go and enjoy some football.
Yeah,
but I'm sure the cost thing is...
It's not like you're just wandering down to the park. You know what I mean? You bring again, your family to that, or you bring, you know, you're shelling out, even on those reasonably priced things, you're shelling out like a week changer.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of how you look at your wages and everything like that. It's not a cheap day out at all. It's a lot cheaper to go to the beach and get an ice cream. You know, like if that's what was James was suggesting was the other option. But do we talk about that enough when we talk about the condensed season, about the amount of games that supporters are expected to go to?
No.
Or even take the cost out of it for a minute and think about the actual commitment of time. Like, when growing up, whatever, you know, 150 years ago, but there was always that if you went on a championship run, it was like, the thing the next day was like, we'll have to be a lot better in 3 weeks' time against Tip, you know, and it was always 3-4 weeks better. And sometimes it could be a little bit stretched out and you almost lose a little bit of momentum to it. There was room for the replay and stuff like that. That gouged us too. It was like, this has been going back a long time. But even outside of the whole replay thing, you kind of had your sense of, right, I have to go and live my life here. I've got my holidays, I've got whatever. It was like, right, in 3 weeks now, I am great. In 3 weeks, I'll go to Thurles and that'll be my weekend that week. And then next weekend, I'm going out in Dublin or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Whatever it might be, you didn't have this sort of sense of, right, it's the summer now, I'm going to a Kerry match every single week.
Yeah, I've changed my mind on the split season, and maybe it kind of feels like we're talking out of both sides.
Yeah, I'm not arguing about the split season. I'm saying that it was, that's one of the things that is missing from it, whether it's right or wrong.
It is
a separate point, I think. You know,
but I think that that's a point of consideration, and I also believe, as I've said on the show before, that August is a bit of a missed opportunity. And just speaking, like, purely from kind of somebody who loves Gaelic games, kind of miss the buzz of an August.
Massively.
I think it's particularly pronounced when you're interested in a whole pile of sports and August is a bit of a dead zone in general. And then you add into the fact, geez, what an opportunity it will be for Intercounty GAA. And when I say I could be talking out both sides of my mouth, what I've kind of come to the realisation is that it's just not going to be possible. Like, it's possible to say, I would love for GAA, Intercounty GAA to be played in August, but also saying it's never going to happen. And I was having this conversation with Anthony Nash yesterday, and before I spoke to him, I just went through it all just to have some sort of clarity in my head. And the remaining schedule for the rest of the year, for people who missed this conversation I had with Anthony yesterday. So this week, if you're a Cork hurler, is obviously a break week for the three finals in Croke Park this weekend. That's the general hurling outlook. Then it's your Munster final, provincial finals weekend. Then the weekend after that is your preliminary quarterfinals. The weekend after that, straight into All-Ireland quarterfinals. Then it's a break week to allow the football quarterfinals to happen. The following week, it's the All-Ireland semi-finals. Then you've got your break week before your All-Ireland final. So that's around July 20th. July 20th is the All-Ireland final this year in hurling. The Cork Football Championship last year began on July 26th. The hurling began the following week. So one break week after the All-Ireland hurling final last year before the Cork Club Hurling Championship began. That's how tight it was. And then the hurling final in Cork was October 20th. The football final was October 27th. And then the Munster Club Hurling Championship started on November the 3rd. So one break week between the end of Cork and the start of Munster, because the football started on November the 10th, is all the players there were left with. And there is no reason for any other county with smaller championships than that to be playing their own club championships any earlier, because they want to have the perfect run into their provincial championships. So that is the picture we're dealt with. It is impossible to find any movement. And that is why Jarlath Burns has said, I ain't for moving. It's going to be the next guy's problem.
Yeah, well, and also because he said he wants concerts in Croke Park in August. Like, I mean, that's not real. Like, you know, that's what they think the most important use of Croke Park is at the moment, and that's fine. Again, money is real. Those needs are a real thing. It's just, I don't think how we see what we feel the association should be. Look, there's loads. We'll never really fully agree on this. I think the fact that they are prioritising the club player and the 99% over the elite is at worst commendable. We used to talk about this on the show a good bit. Like, there's very, very few organisations in the world, if any, that would do that and would be so adamant about it. And that's great. I still don't know if we found the perfect solution. And one of them is, it's like the entire, again, the fact that Clare, Wexford and Waterford are out of the hurling so early in the year is the issue. It's not that they're out so early in the championship, because they've just played in the spring. They haven't actually yet got to play any hurling in the summer. Now, it turned out we had a nice May, so maybe that's less of a complaint. Yeah. But seriously, it's like always competing with the Premier League with a really, really important time in rugby. And sports can't just look at themselves like that. But the fact is, there's a big wide open August there that doesn't have anything else. And we would be wall-to-wall GAA. Did we talk about there not being enough coverage sometimes and not enough chance to build up the games? You know, that's just us alone. All the papers, the exact same. It's crazy. It is crazy. There are ways of doing it. I don't exactly know what they are, but you can't tell me that there's just those games have to start and their championships, the club championship can't be a month later.
The other team that's emerging the weekend, and it's not really a theme.
Or some played early in the year, yeah, and you stand up to inter-county managers is another thing as well.
Kieran McGeaney, speaking about the format, came up again over the course of the weekend, and he's not pleased with the change that's coming down the tracks next year. So, as people know, this system that we're dealing with this year, and we've had since 2023, we currently have 36 games before the All-Ireland quarterfinals. Next year, that's going down to 20 games. before the quarterfinals. So I think there's a world where next year you could have the exact same fixtures as we had in round one in this year's All-Ireland Championship, but there's a few more consequences basically when it comes to it. So like you could have had all those fixtures, Cavan beating Mayo, Dublin beating Galway, et cetera, and all of those teams that won those games would then be drawn into four games to play one another. So what we could actually be looking forward to next year is Cavan, Dublin, Kerry, Down, Monaghan, Cork, Tyrone, Armagh all being drawn to play one another. Now, the loser of that round doesn't necessarily get knocked out, but the winner of that round goes through to an All-Ireland quarter-final. And that's the slate of fixtures I actually want to see. So, Speaking of changing my mind on things I was pretty entrenched on, I don't really hate the sound of next year's All-Ireland when I look at the potential fixtures that emerge.
It gets rid of dead rubbers, but still gives everybody the games that they need, and I think it takes away the idea of just playing out games for the sake of it. I hate it. It started however many years ago. Cork played Roscommon in an empty Pork at Cueve. I don't remember exactly what year it was. It was the original Super 8s, obviously, which has given way to the current group stage. And I remember thinking to myself when it was happening, it was like, this is the first game in the history of the All-Ireland Senior Football or Hurling Championship that has meant nothing, that there is nothing to play for. Because it evolved obviously from a knockout competition, and it didn't mean anything.
But are you talking about the dead rubber at the end of the? Oh, you're
this
talking
was
at the
back
end of
the Super 8. They were both
the last round.
They were both out, and it was again. It literally there was nothing to play for, and I don't think that's good. I don't think that there should be championship games that don't mean anything to both teams.
Ideally not. I'm okay with what we have at the moment. I'll be okay with what we have next year. I like more volume. I like being able to see games and seeing all these counties.
But this sounds exciting, and also, like there will be ultimately like an old school championship losers group. Then the winners group, losers group will play the. You know, you've explained it better than me there, but I think it actually makes a load of sense, and we'll get used to it very, very quickly. And it will still have that idea of a draw, and people aren't grouped off and things like that. I think it could be good.
Yeah, no, I'm coming around to it as well. To be fair, we'll see how it plays out. Right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this. And remember, the football show coming up after 9 with Nathan and Daniela Fisichella will also join us to talk Inter Milan and Napoli as well.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.